观众朋友们大家好，我是汇林顿中国交集团杭州校区的助理市场经理 Louis。 今天我们的直播主题是在汇林顿小学部用 STEAM 的视角去探索世界。今天我们有幸邀请到了汇林顿小学部负责科学、数学和教育科技的三位老师一起来到我们直播间和大家进行分享。今天我们的直播将会是全英文的内容，我们也在直播间设置了 AI 的自动翻译字幕，方便各位观众更好的了解我们的内容。 So welcome to all of youCould you please introduce yourself and share a bit about your teaching backgrounds here at our school?
I'll go first. My name's Andrew Perry, and I'm currently the Director of Educational Technology. I've been here for 4 years now. I started off in the classroom with a primary training at the primary school, and that's my background. And currently today, my job is to try to link together pedagogy with technology.And so I'm sort of that bridge, utilizing my experiences from teaching in the classroom and now my experiences and learning of technology and educational technology and bringing that together to support teachers to integrate that into lessons.
Yeah. Then for you.
Yeah, my name is Russell Clark. I'm a year six teacher and also head of primary maths. I'm proud to say that I have taken a leading role in building like a curriculum for the primary school, which incorporates like the best aspects of the English national curriculum and also the Chinese national curriculum. And I think also as part of my role, I'm really passionate about children enjoying maths through different events like this, through maths investigations and taking part in maths competitions as well.
Hi, my name is Jessica Faulkner. I am a teacher in Wellington International Primary. I teach year four and I'm also the head of primary science there. I've just joined the school this academic year and previously I was working at Wellington College, Pune in India. And before that, I was working in the UK.
Right. So thank you all for joining us. So we all know that starting from next Monday, March 9th, our school will embark on our STEAM week.But before we dive into the activities, I'd like to discuss with our expert here. Could you share with us, like, what is STEAM education and how do we define future-ready education here at Wellington College International Hangzhou?
I think STEAM is obviously those subjects underneath that umbrella, maths and science and engineering, and bringing those together, typically within projects. We want to try to get our learners to understand that the world embodies, we want to try to bring all these subjects together so that the children can have a different perception when they leave our college, and understand that they can bring these subjects together into their real life.
Yeah, I think that's applying your learning to real life is like really important for children to understand why those subjects are important. If they can't see those real life links, then they don't see the point in what they're learning. But as soon as they do, it really brings the learning to life for them, makes it much more memorable and much more impactful as well.
Mm-hmm. So talking about the real life, I think we are doing something specifically here. Having a dedicated science programs in our primary school, it's quite progressive, I would say. So what is the core philosophy behind this early specialization?
Yeah, we see science as one of the core subjects, and so we want our curriculum to really reflect that. We follow a lot of the UK curriculum for that, but we also want to put that into the wider perspective of the school. So we want to have a global perspective on that, not just based on the UK, but how our students would engage with the world around them, perhaps the different places that they might live as well.
Mm-hmm.So, yeah, that's a real answer. I will go back to our audience for a while. 欢迎刚刚进入我们直播间的观众朋友们。你们现在正在收看的是我们汇林顿中国教集团杭州校区的直播间。今天我们直播的主题是在汇林顿的小学部，我们用 STEAM 视角去探索世界。对我们学校感兴趣的家长，可以点击我们屏幕下方的按钮来添加我们招生老师的联系方式，咨询我们学校更多详细的信息，也可以关注我们学校的官方公众号，了解更多的信息。刚才我们和三位老师聊了我们未来教育还有在小学设立科学课程的一些原因，接下来我们详细谈一谈在我们的这里的科学启蒙教育。 So back to Jessica, how do you nurture curiosity in children's like aging from 5 to 11? And for instance, like when starting evolution or plant growth, how do we guide them to observe the laws of nature through a scientific lens?
Yeah, so we want to ensure that children are not only getting the scientific knowledge that they need for those subjects, but to also understand how to work scientifically. So we embed the skills they would need to work scientifically, and we make sure that we plan in lots of hands-on experiences, lots of activities that they can do. So for Science Week, for STEAM Week, it's really important that they can see those things come to life, as well as in their weekly lessons as well.
Yeah, I think you mentioned like on the weekly lesson, I do remember one time it's a science section and you bring them out to the outdoor and like using the microscope, like to looking at those insects and things. That was really interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we really have to use the world around us to help inspire their curiosity. And you can see that in the children across the school. Anything where we can put a real life perspective onto their learning is going to spark a lot more curiosity and wonder. And yeah, in that example, the year four students, we were outside making observations. And within that, they understand the skill that they're using to work scientifically, as well as the knowledge that underlies that as well.
So, but when it comes to like science, we always know that science experiments, they often lead to failures. So when a children's outcome doesn't match their hypothesis, how do we guide them to turn that frustration into a more like a scientific insight?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is seen across all subjects that we have to understand that failure is really important and it's a part of learning and it's a process.
Yeah, of course.
Something that we do often as teachers across all subjects is model our metacognition. So we can model our thinking in a situation, and science is no different to that. So as a teacher, we can model how a scientist might hypothesize, how a scientist might observe, and then how a scientist might reflect on an experiment that they have done, and perhaps, as you mentioned, you know, a failure or something that didn't quite go as planned.
Yeah.
And if we can model our thinking in that reflection, so what might we change? What variables might we tweak? Let's try it again and have another go. Now, what have we observed? And that will really help the children to understand how they can approach that situation as well.
Mm-hmm. I think, and during that process, we kind of build up the resilience of those people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of our values is sort of courage. So it is that resilience and that courage to not feel defeated and to keep going. And we can see real life examples of this in science. So, for example, the post-it note, you know, a simple example we can share with the children that was actually the result of so-called failure, something that didn't quite go to plan, but is actually very successful and popular. So, you know, it's not always a negative thing that something didn't go the way you thought it would.
Yeah, that would be a really that would be a really important or even crucial lesson for our pupil, actually. So come to a follow-up question for you. How does this, like those early scientific training change the way our pupil perceive and interact with the natural world, you know, outside the school gate this day?
Yeah, I think what we really hope for the children is that things that they learn in school across all our subjects, they take it away with them when they leave school, and they, you know, ask questions at home. It's a conversation they might have at the dinner table, or it's something they might want to go and research when they leave school. So I think with science, we hope to ask those big questions in school, have those hands-on experiments and activities so that they could go home and question this further, or perhaps recreate an experiment or look a little bit further through books or online research and really develop that curiosity that they've been sparked at school.
Mm-hmm. Would that be, I'm just thinking of this, would that be like a scenario, like when people learn their science knowledge from the school and they when they go home, would they feedback to you and in the other day, like saying what they learned and what they are practicing at the school?
Absolutely. And I think as teachers, one of those lovely moments is when children come running through the doors in the morning with something exciting that they want to, you know, share with you that you've been learning in school, and they found something at home and they really want to share that. you know, when we have science projects over the holidays and children come back with their videos or their projects they want to tell me about in Science Week, when we had a competition, I had children across the school really excited to come and share with me what they've been learning. So, yeah, opportunities like STEAM Week are really important for that because they get more in-depth experiences with the activities. And then we see a sort of surge in, you know, children's curiosity at home and things they want to come in and share with us as well.
Mm-hmm. That's really nice to know. So another follow-up question for you. I think one of the things that parents would ask is like how does this early scientific training change the way I have asked that question. So it's a good answer from you. I would try to turn to our audience and continue with our live stream. 欢迎刚刚进入我们直播间的朋友们，现在你们正在收看的是惠灵顿中国教育集团杭州校区的直播。今天我们在直播的主题是在惠灵顿小学部用 STEAM 的视角去探索世界。对我们学校感兴趣的家长可以点击我们屏幕下方的按钮来添加我们招生老师的联系方式，来咨询学校更多的信息。当然也可以关注我们学校的官方账号了解更多。刚才我们聊到了我们学校是如何给学生做科学启蒙的教育，接下来我们也借这个机会聊一下 STEAM 当中的数学部分，我们的数学启蒙教育。 So this is a question to the math. At Wellington, how does math evolve from like a paper-based calculation into problem solving too? So when mathematic knowledge is combined with our programming path, like theorems or like building circuits, what is the difference in, you know, how children perceive math here?
Yeah, I think it's a good question because the two aspects of math that you mentioned are both like absolutely crucial. Yeah. Both the, you know, paper-based calculation methods and also problem solving are really key. So, you know, having the background knowledge is essential. It's a must before you can move on to problem solving. Because you could have the best problem solving skills in the world, but for a maths problem, if you don't have the maths knowledge, you're not going to be able to solve a maths problem. So
that's true.
Background knowledge, calculation ability, arithmetic ability is crucial in building also problem solving ability as well. So how we move from having strong arithmetic skills to strong problem solving skills is something that we kind of practice every day in lessons. One way that we do it is by always linking our learning to like real life situations. So it's not just abstract knowledge that the children are gaining, but also when it's linked to real life situations, they kind of see the usefulness of what they're learning. And also they gain experience of problem solving as well. Experience that they have each day, both in arithmetic and problem solving, really sets them like in good stead when they come to special weeks like STEAM Week that's happening next week, because they have all of the knowledge that they need and problem solving experience to really engage in the problems of that week, and they're well equipped to be successful with them.
Okay. And I think because our school is like the curriculum is like kind of somehow combined with the British and also the Chinese math curriculum, so that also represent those two different aspects, and they would develop our pupil like in a better way, is it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We really appreciate the strengths of the Chinese math curriculum, which really gets children, sets them on a really strong foundation in their knowledge and also calculation ability. And then the of course the real strength about the English national curriculum is we have probably a greater focus on problem solving and more like open-ended questions where there's more than one single answer. So the combination of those two aspects is really important, and yeah, it's something that we're proud of in the school.
Mm-hmm. So the following question, it's like, actually, it's not like just the children often ask, but also me. So when it comes to math, sometimes I would say like, when I was younger, when will I ever use this? So in projects like our year four's Mickey Mickey or year three's FreeRoll, do people realize that they are applying our, you know, complex math before they even know that they are actually doing it?
Yeah, I mean, there's different ways of approaching it. And you kind of might think that kind of tricking the children to learn something and might be a good idea that they're kind of learning without realizing. But actually, the best way for them to learn is to really kind of make it explicit of what they're learning. So I'll give you an example. You mentioned spheros when I used the spheros before with my class. The first step really is to make them feel like really excited and engaged by telling them what the final project is that they'll be using the sphero for. And that kind of gives them a challenge to work on. And then really we would then introduce that the importance of, okay, this for you to be successful in this challenge that you're very excited about, type of mathematical knowledge is really important. So, for example, learning about angles, turns, measurement, like ratios, all of those things were really important. And because the children knew that they had to kind of master those aspects to be successful in the challenge, it really kind of helped focus their mind even more than normal to really help embed that new knowledge and the revision of existing knowledge in their mind and used in a practical way.
Yeah. So those are really great tools for us. So one of the following question is like, how do you cooperate with science to ensure that, you know, sometimes in those data collected in the observation is transformed into a more meaningful, logical conclusions?
Yeah, I think it's an important question, and I think it's also really important for me to mention that STEAM Week is kind of brings into focus that we have these cross-curricular links.
Yeah.
But they're not only unique to STEAM Week. Maths and science are interlinked all of the time. You know, for example, it could be you're measuring the results of an experiment in your, you know, you're measuring distance. For example, with my year six class, we've measured their heart rate and during exercise and how it changes over time. So there's the focus of that particular lesson, although it was science, you know, we the measurement aspect and then showing your results in like a graph format really kind of links those subjects together well, and you can kind of, it helps to visualize the science that's happening. A graph, I think, certainly helps to do that as one example. Yeah,
that's true. Okay, so I will go back to our audience for a while. 欢迎刚刚进入我们直播间的观众朋友们，现在你们正在收看的是惠灵顿中国教育团杭州校区的直播。今天我们直播的主题是在惠灵顿的小学部用 STEAM 的视角去探索世界。对学校感兴趣的家长也可以点击我们屏幕下方的按钮来添加招生老师的联系方式，来咨询学校更多的详细信息，也可以关注我们学校的官方账号去了解更多。刚才我们聊到了在我们学校是如何引导孩子们喜欢上数学的，接下来我们再聊一下我们学校的教育科技，这也是我们学校很特别的一个方面。 So the following question would be for Andrew, you. As like the EdTech director, how do we, you know, ensure that tools like we areTinkercard or MicroBit or facilitate those deep thinking rather than just like enhancing their screen time? You know, how do those two help them visualize the microscope words or complex habitats that they are actually usually invisible to our naked eyes?
Well, I think, first of all, we really want to, we really want to make children aware that, yes. We're bringing these things together under one umbrella. So first of all, we've got to make sure that we're starting with the learning and we're setting out a learning objective. And then we're finding ways that we can use technology to support the outcome rather than throwing the technology in there first. So we would never start that way around. And then, for example, if we take VR, It can offer us opportunities such as going back in time or going and visiting animals that might be extinct or...
like dinosaurs, that sort of.
Exactly, yeah. And these are experiences that you wouldn't otherwise be able to have, otherwise potentially impossible. And so it can offer, you know, children that chance. So that's really important.
Yeah. You mentioned about VR. So I really remember actually from our tech experience week.
Yeah.
So the pupils, they are seeing their heart in like a real shape and beating there. That was actually quite interesting or attracting for me.
Yeah, that's a good example of where the children are learning about something, in that instance, the human heart. Mm-hmm. And then they're using the technology to go in and explore that. You know, it's not easy to access a human heart and get it in the lab.
Of course.
And so, but they can put on, throw on a headset and go and see that really up close and personal and use it to try to reinforce that learning. Actually, Russell, that happened in one of your lessons. Is there anything that you can build on that?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think it gave them a good opportunity to kind of see it from like... see the heart from like different angles within the VR world. And they'd been learning about it previously, so they were able to like identify the different parts of a heart that they had learned about. And I guess the other thing that's different to like learning from a textbook, for example, is that in a textbook, it's just one, it's 2D and it's not moving. Whereas in a virtual world, you can see the heart actually pumping, showing the movement. And in a three-dimensional environment as well.
Yeah. And that's just one example. We can do like really many.
Yeah.
So one of the following questions for you is like, when selecting those two, like what we're going to have is the March curves for year two next week. What is the core criteria? I think, but it's not about like how cool the gargoyle is, but it's like about solving a specific pedagogy challenge that traditional tools cannot, right?
Absolutely. So in that scenario, year two are going to be learning about green spaces.
Yeah.
And this is something which they'll be doing in other subjects, humanities and science, and trying to then use the Merge Cube to really bring that learning to life. So the Merge Cube itself offers is AR, so augmented reality. And so children are going to have the opportunity to, first of all, learn about green spaces and then even go forth and design their own green space. And then they can bring that to life by using the Merge Cube and scanning and seeing this AR version of their green space live in the room that they're actually in. So it's an experience that they surely won't forget anytime soon. Again, making that learning more impactful, more engaging.
Yeah. But I think it's a really normal question. So when it comes to technology, like parents, they always concern about the tech dependency. So how can you show through the STEAM Week that technology is actually augmenting rather than like diminishing the children's perception of the real world?
So I'm quite passionate about the fact that it's not how long you've been on the screen for, it's what you've done with that screen. And I think often we can be too caught up with this this idea of screen time. And so it's very, very different if you're using a screen and just passively consuming content. But if you're actively creating, or in many cases, solving a problem that you've started with, that's so much more beneficial for children in their learning. So if there's one, for me, if there's one key takeaway that parents could get from STEAM Week, it would be that look and see how technology can support an overarching objective. I'm quite passionate about that.
Mm-hmm. That's really a good point. Like, actually, it's not about technology can be good or bad, but it's always the person that who's using it, like change, make the difference.
Absolutely. It's just a tool.
Yeah.
If you can use it in a positive way, in our case, to support learning, then you're only going to have positive outcomes.
May I extend this question a little bit more? Because I think our school like also in emphasizing the power of AI. So how we use AI in a daily basis for our pupils?
We've got different scenarios for that. For example, even in English, we might use, we've got an AI tool, which is produced by Microsoft, and it allows the reader to speak and have their passage recorded and then immediately be marked by AI technology. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge time saver for teachers, making their life, which is very efficient, and making their lives easier. So that's one example. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we have already shared like different aspects for our primary curriculum. Given on our established philosophies, next week's Themes Week is essentially a concentrated showcase of those ideas together. The following question will be to the all of you together. So how do we, why do we need a specific week to, you know, break subject boundaries? And when English lessons like integrate instruction and also STEAM-related texts, what is the significance of this holistic education cooperation for our children?
I think it's a bit more explicit. So often subjects are quite siloed. You'll have your maths and your English and your science, but this is really allowing children to discover that all these subjects cross over in some way. And it provides an opportunity for some kind of a project to bring them all together. And that's, you know, in life, it's never kind of, life itself incorporates all these different subjects and aspects. And so, yeah, I think STEAM Week is a great opportunity to allow that.
Yeah, I agree. I think the week just brings more focus onto those things that we do try to do. Like we try to always kind of link those subjects together that were traditionally kind of separated, as Andrew mentioned. But we try to link them together more now. And the special week, STEAM Week, helps us to create more focus on those. And give the children like really memorable events and, you know, in their education. And I know that the things that I remember from school, and I'm sure it's the same for all of you guys as well, is that those, when you do something that's really different and really practical, those are the things that you kind of really remember and for the rest of your life, really, as opposed to like your normal lessons you have. So the learning that takes part in those really memorable experiences is really, really important. And it's much more beneficial for the children as well.
Mm-hmm. And how are we seeing it on a science aspect?
Yeah, I think, as we've mentioned today, you know, we have these subjects weekly and we follow our curriculums. And a lot of the time we do integrate the different subjects across. So, for example, bringing EdTech into science, or as Russell mentioned, having that maths and science overlap. But something like STEAM Week or Science Week just gives that extra emphasis on the collaboration between the different subjects. And it really showcases how we can bring these things together and how we can apply this to our real life. So it gives the children a broader overview of how all of these subjects are really useful outside of school, outside of the classroom, and how they can integrate all of their learning.
Mm-hmm. I think what I'm hearing a lot is real life during these sections. It's really important to prepare our children for that.
Yeah. Actually.
And that links to what you said at the beginning about how do we ensure a future-focused curriculum.
Mm.
Yes. We don't, nobody truly knows what the future holds. So we try our best to equip our learners with as many experiences as we can so that they're best prepared for their future.
Yeah, I think it's something that we talk about in maths also quite a lot, that because I teach, you know, slightly older children in year six, they're able to think about that only just answering like a calculation question is not necessarily a valuable life tool, because, you know, we have AI, we have calculators that can answer it. Right. Having the background knowledge of why that's the answer is important. But also then it's higher level skills, like being able to justify things to other people. And, you know, sometimes children can be a bit hesitant about always wanting to explain their mathematical thinking or justify what they're thinking. They think, oh, I've got the right answer, so I finish now. But they were able to understand that actually those skills are really important. And we talked about in the class that, you know, when you're working in business and you need to like justify to other people in the company, like why your idea is a good idea. And you need to give evidence for that and be able to explain it well. So this is like a really important like future skill, not just being able to do the calculation. You know?
Mm-hmm. And thinking about it, we are preparing them here in the primary stage. So that's really something, the one thing I would say.
Yeah, and you were asking earlier about their ability to sort of teach that to their parents. And I think that's another example of what Russell's talking about there. It's not only taking part in these activities, but then building on that with their oracy and their presentation skills and how they can really put that into practice. So, yeah, as you say, they've got those future-ready skills.
Mm-hmm. So talking about presentation, I know that would be a really interesting section for next theme week. So I know that on the Friday afternoon, so the pupil by that time would become the teachers for their parents. Here comes the question. So how does this process of like teaching others can help our pupil internalize the scientific knowledge or the mathematic knowledge that they acquire throughout the week?
Yeah, I think one of my favorite educational theorists who came up with something called Bloom's taxonomy shows us that the lower levels of thinking are remembering and understanding, but to reach higher levels of understanding and to kind of activate a greater part of your brain is done through like explaining and kind of like teaching others and also like creating, you know, those higher level skills which they'll be able to practice with their parents, I think is really, really valuable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is there any insight or example that you can share with us on what to expect on next Friday?
I mean, year four have got a great idea lined up with the operation game and the idea of, so we've got this tool called Makey Makey, which is basically, it allows for a circuit to run through it. And it's operated by a program called Scratch, which is block coding. Uh-huh. And they're going to use that to support learning of, what is it?
Yeah, so they'll be incorporating their science learning about the human body and the digestive system. Uh-huh. And as Andrew said, they'll be linking that into their ed tech as well. So we've got the knowledge and the working scientifically alongside the educational technology as well. So I think parents can expect to see a wide variety of resources that we have in the school. Very lucky to have all of these resources in math, science and educational technology, and hopefully see their children be able to explain their learning that they've done and teach them something alongside that as well.
I want to just add to that as well, year three also very exciting. So they're using spheros actually, and they want to reenact the pollination that happens with bees. And so they're going to send off the sphero according to a code that they're going to create to go and meet, visit different flowers within the school atrium. And then at each point, it's going to allow for the student to have 1 or 2 minutes to present to their parent on a different aspect of pollination. So it's bringing together that science in there, art as well with the design of the flowers, programming, and obviously the ed tech itself with the spheros. So I thought that's another really great learning journey that will take place next week.
Yeah, that really explained the theme part of it. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's pretty much of our section tonight here. So thank you to the three of you, our guests. And after today's discussion, it's really clear that Themes Week is not just a series of fun activity. It's a profound practice of Wellington's educational philosophy. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, 感谢今天三位老师的分享。听完了今天的分享之后，肯定大家也能发现我们这里教学的 Themes Week 不仅仅是一系列有趣的活动，它更是我们惠灵顿教育理念的一次深度的实践。如果对我们学校感兴趣的家长，可以点击我们下方屏幕的按钮来添加我们招生老师的信息，去了解我们学校更多的信息。当然也可以我们关注学校的官方公众号。今天我们的直播到这里就差不多结束了，谢谢大家的观看。